King's Guard in Greece have a motto which states, "All men have fears. The brave put down their fears and go forward, sometimes to death, but always to victory." Not sure that works for me, but it may work for you. What is it that you fear the most? Now, some of you may have seen a program on TV called Fear Factor that was on some years ago. Now, it's not the sort of thing that I usually like to watch. In fact, I guess there's not much I like to watch on television at all these days. However, I did see some snippets of the program as others in my family watched it from time to time when it was airing some years ago. Now, Fear Factor is about offering contestants money or prizes to do things they fear the most. And some of them were absolutely disgusting. And then upping the financial ante until they agreed to do it. A modern day version of this is probably something like, "I'm a celebrity, get me out of here." Another example of high class viewing. For example, can you imagine eating wedding cake with alligator eyes and all kinds of live creepy crawlies in it? Or being locked in a room full of tarantulas or snakes? Now, strangely enough, neither of those activities appeal to me all that much. Yet, when it comes to that sort of thing, I'm a real wimp and proud of it. But fear comes in all sorts of guises. You might be afraid of doing gross things like you see on Fear Factor or I'm a Celebrity, etc. Or you might be afraid of something a little more serious, like losing your job or losing a loved one. You might be afraid of becoming seriously ill, or if you are ill, perhaps even being afraid of the cure. There are a lot of other, perhaps more healthy kinds of fear as well. You know, as parents, we all want to put a little healthy fear into our children, and that's a good thing. We teach our children about the dangers of playing in the street and the correct way to cross the street. We teach them not to play with matches or with sharp implements. And all of that is good. It's a healthy kind of fear that we all want our children to have. The English poet and hymn writer William Cowper once wrote, "He has no hope who never had a fear." A certain amount of fear heightens response and gets the adrenaline working. And these are all normal and healthy kinds of fear. Normal, that is, until for some strange reason fear rises to such a point that it completely overshadows our rationality, and we become phobic and perhaps totally paralysed by the fear. Now, you've all seen the kind of movie where the Indiana Jones-like hero and the slim, attractive and helpless young girl he's just saved from the clutches of the psychopathic megalomaniac who wants to take over the world are attempting to escape. And here they are, imagine the scene if you will, climbing a rope up the side of a cliff with a large overhang, so they're just hanging there in mid-air. There's a strong wind blowing. The waves are crashing on the rocks 50 metres below. Now, the hero has gone first to make sure that the top of the cliff is clear, and having thus disposed of any hindrance in that area, he calls back to the girl who's still climbing the rope, scared out of her brain, "Look, you're doing really well. You're almost there. Just don't look down." Now, you know that once he said that, you know exactly what the girl's going to do next, don't you? And that's right. She looks down and is suddenly paralysed by fear. She hadn't even thought to look down until he told her not to. And now she's even worse off than before. Now she can't even move. She's frozen to the rope. And somehow the hero has to then climb back down the rope and help the girl up, probably carrying her on his back all the way to the top. Now, society today, we're taught to fear all kinds of things. Some of them, as I have said, are healthy and rational. Others are not quite so healthy and rational. And even as Christians, we can experience the debilitating effects of fear. Fear that paralyzes us into inaction. Sir Francis Bacon, the English philosopher, essayist and statesman once said, "Nothing is to be feared but fear." Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in his inaugural address delivered in 1933, built on Bacon's quote when he said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." As we look at today's gospel reading from Matthew, we're introduced to Jesus speaking to his disciples immediately prior to sending them out to the towns and villages, preparing them for what they might find, preparing them for the kinds of responses they might get to their message of the good news of the kingdom of heaven. There's no need to be afraid, he's telling them. No need to be afraid when people kill you. No need to be afraid when they malign or insult you. No need to be afraid when they drag you off to the courts or to jail. No need to be afraid when your family rejects you, when you lose your job, when you lose someone close to you, or because they think you've gone troppo. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be afraid of all of those things. It's like I always tell my dentist, I can handle anything but pain. The gospel identifies two particular fears that the apostles had. Fear of being falsely accused and found guilty, and fear of bodily harm and death. In either case, Jesus teaches them that the way to overcome that fear is by keeping their mind focused not on the circumstances here and now, but on the coming kingdom of God. In times of uncertainty, much like today with the threat of COVID-19, it's not surprising that many people show signs of fear and anxiety. And much of this fear and anxiety that people feel, especially during these tough times, is about their material security. Even when times are good, you never know if it's going to last. Will my business survive? Will I have enough money for my retirement? Will I be able to get that better paying job? But that's not really what's happening here, is it? Here we're concerned with a rather different fundamental problem. Here we're concerned with what happens when Christians take seriously the way in which they live out the gospel. What happens when people speak out their faith in the face of threat and opposition? In today's gospel reading, we're being reminded that to become a follower of Jesus Christ in the fullest sense, as opposed to just being a churchgoer, that to spread his message of love, justice, and peace in word and practice will be seen by some people as a real threat to be resisted. Sometimes I think we live under the illusion that the perfect Christian is someone who is loved and admired by all. On the contrary, such a person is likely to be rejected and bitterly hated by many in society. To be a fully committed Christian involves loving others with the same kind of love that Christ showed for us, a sacrificial love, a love that puts everything aside for the sake of another. There's no guarantee that we will ever be loved in return. We're not Christians in order to be loved and have people look up to us, but to proclaim the word by word and example what it means to live in the kingdom of heaven. This is our priority against all other things. This is our priority of faith. I heard recently of one priest who answered a telephone request for baptism. His reply was rather unique. He said, "What? Do you know what you're asking? Do you realize that you're signing up your child for martyrdom?" Maybe I should try that. Today's gospel reminds us that as Christians, we have a responsibility to stand up and be counted, to be prepared for some kind of martyrdom. Jesus said, "If anyone declares himself for me in the presence of others, I will declare myself for him in the presence of my Father in heaven. But the one who disowns me in the presence of others, I will disown in the presence of my Father in heaven." At the same time, we are assured of God's protection and help. The greatest fear, perhaps, for us is not that we may be killed or beaten up or put in jail, or that our friends and family will reject us, although that all happens. The greatest fear is that we may be seduced into betraying those values on which our Christian integrity depends. To save our bodies at the expense of truth, at the expense of love, at the expense of justice, at the expense of freedom. This is the real danger. This is the real death. If we find that we are not known to be Christian, or that being a Christian seems to be no different from anything else or from anyone else, if we find that our Christian communities, our congregations, leave no mark on their surrounding society, then we need to ask ourselves seriously what kind of Christian lives we are leading and what kind of witness to the gospel we are giving. It's not enough to be simply gathering together once a week for worship, of course, when virus and regulations allow. Our lives, both individually and together as the body of Christ, need to witness visibly to the truth of the gospel. To do that, to be a living witness to Christ may generate some hostility among people, we know. But Jesus says, do not fear those things. What we should fear, however, is God. Now, fear of God in the scriptures is a special term. In the proper context, it refers to a profound respect for our Creator, a sense of reverence that we owe to God. And that's a healthy fear. It doesn't paralyze us, or at least it shouldn't. Shouldn't make us afraid that God will harm us. On the contrary, it's an awe and reverence that establishes a good, healthy relationship with our God. And it's from that relationship that we learn that God is our strength and our fortress in these times of fear. When we recognize that we are not self-sufficient and that it is God who is the source of our strength, then we can have faith in the one who created us. We can put our trust in the one who supports us and nurtures us as we faithfully live out the gospel in our community. The priority of our faith is not only to worship God, but to share our faith with others, to declare to others the truth of the gospel, no matter what the cost. It is God who will help us overcome our fear and enable us to persevere. As you share your faith with others, may they see your faith as a beacon of light in a world filled with fear. To God be all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen.